Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Update from Living Compassion. Jen sent us a file to play today from Cantabamba, but we so loved her test recording, we're going to play that one instead.
Good afternoon and welcome to a test of the Good News Updates. Well, for the next couple weeks while we're in Zambia, we're going to be doing audio recordings of the project in Cantabamba to send back to Michael to play for the show. So we're doing a test this afternoon to see how the sound quality goes, to see if we're able to email it back, to see how it sounds when he plays it on the show. So it's Saturday afternoon and we're having a work day. I thought I would just walk around and give you a little account of what we're up to. So first, I'm approaching a large group of women, about, 12 or 14 of the team, who are hoeing what's now just a big dirt patch. You can probably start to hear the hoeing sounds as I'm walking towards them. What they're doing is they're loosening the dirt so that we can water down and start planting grass seed on Monday, because this whole area is going to become a play yard for the new English pilot program. And, well, I'll tell you about the fence in just a minute. So I'll greet one of the women. Hey, Brenda. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I'm very well, thank you. Brenda's English is getting very good. Okay, so now I'm walking up to the couple of the men, and actually a bunch of the women, too, who are here helping to dig holes to put in the posts for the new fence. Hey, Georgina.
Oh, we are digging and we are putting the posts for the fence where the teacher is coming, is going to teach English.
Great. So I'll reflect her. So she was saying that they're digging holes for the posts to create the fence for the English program where the teachers are going to come and teach English. And the idea we had was that inside the fence is an English-only zone.
Yes.
And so if you step inside the magic fence into the beautiful yard, you choose to, you speak English, right?
Yes, that's right. When we enter this premises, no Bemba, only English.
Exactly. And it's fine if you want to speak Bemba, that's fine. You just have to step outside the gate.
Yes.
And what we're hoping is that we'll train the very little children to speak English. They'll speak lots of English, and then they'll go home and they'll teach their moms like Beauty. Right, Beauty?
Yes.
She's there digging the post hole for us. Off in the distance, you might be able to hear the little kids who are yelling at us, or yelling to us, I should say. Let me see if I can get them to do it again. Of course, right when I want them to do it, they won't do it, but they scream, Amazungu! Amazungu! They won't do it.
Yes.
Okay, so this is a place where I really wish I had a video camera instead of an audio. Sure. What's your name?
Karen.
And this is your brother?
Yes.
Michael? Okay, so Karen, who's about... How old are you, Karen?
I'm 10.
How old are you? And she's 9 years old, and she's holding her baby brother, Michael, who is 3 months old and just as cute as you could possibly imagine. Can you make that noise again, Michael? He is so cute. Now I've got these guys over here at the fence peeking out at me saying, how are you? How are you?
I'm fine.
How are you?
I'm fine.
See, they're learning English. Their faces are so cute. There's one each coming through the little places in the fence. It's adorable. And I recognize Philip over here. How are you, Philip?
I'm fine.
All right, so now Georgina's accompanying me, and we are headed to walk inside what is becoming the new classroom for the pilot English program. We're just finishing the painting today. Let's see, we've got Agnes and Regina are in the archway here painting the walls blue. Yesterday they painted it all nice and fresh and white, and now they're painting the lower half of it a nice blue so that little kid fingerprints won't get all the dirt all over the white. And Veronica is over here. Veronica. I'm doing a recording, Veronica. Will you describe what you're painting?
I'm painting the blackboard.
She's painting the blackboard. It's so cool. They've got some special kind of paint. So they put like a, well, it's just a piece of cement, actually, that they carefully put flat on the wall. And then they paint it with this special black paint. And then you can put chalk on it, right? Like a chalkboard.
Again?
You can put chalk. You can write on it with your chalk, right?
Yes.
So cool. So I just showed Georgina that we brought with us from the United States four just very simple extension, tension curtain rods. And so she and I are going to go over to the sewing room to pick out some chitenge, which we'll use to make just little curtains for the new windows in the classroom. The classroom has four windows in it, which is somewhat uncommon. Often structures in Cantalumba have very small windows because they're worried about security, but here on the property that's not an issue because we've got night guards and that sort of thing. And they have screens on them, which is almost unheard of because no one can afford the screening, but it's really quite a luxury. So the classroom has plenty of air movement, but it's protected from mosquitoes. So Georgina and I are on our way over to the sewing room. We just ran into Teresa. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Jen. How is everyone there?
So, Teresa, you know how we do the, every Tuesday we have the radio show. And at the beginning of the radio show, we have a good news update. And so while I'm in Zambia for the good news updates, we're doing audio recordings to describe to people what's going on in the project. So I'm doing a little test of that today.
Okay.
So we found some good blue chitenge that will match our blue walls, and now we're going to go over and measure the windows to see how long they need to be. Meanwhile, as we walk back over to do our measurements, the women are still at the hoeing. They're out here like troopers. They'll just do this forever. And the fellows are on the other side. They're digging the post hole on this side. We've got Ruben and Pascal and Linkson, who are, oh, they've got a really cool pickaxe, much like we'd have at home, only instead of buying it at a store, they, of course, have handmade it. And they're digging the post holes for the fence on the other side. So we're just walking out of the new classroom. We just had a little meeting with Sister Phil and Teresa and Veronica and Georgina. We're talking about recruiting the children for the program, and we realized that it would probably be wise to charge a very small fee, what to us would be a very small fee, something around $2 per month for the children to be enrolled in the English program, because there are 15 slots in this pilot English program that we're starting, and of course there are going to be hundreds of people, of children, families who want their children in the program. Teresa said, you wait, Jen, on Monday there are going to be hundreds of people lined up. And what we really want, of course, especially for this pilot program, is families who are really enrolled in the program. They really, really want their children to be in it. They see the value of it. And they're really willing to participate in some way to make that happen. And so we're going to have this small fee as a way of doing that. And I'm going to end this recording here in just a moment. But first, I want to say hi to Marion. Marion, I'm making a little recording. Can you say hello?
Hello.
That was Marion. And here's little Dave. Hi, Dave. Can you say hello, Dave?
Hello.
There he is. And here's, let's see, who else have we got? Jen. We've got little, well, the gang's all here now. Hi, Jen.
Jen.
Hello.
There's, that was little Jen. Hey, guys. Oh, here's Sherry. Hey, baby Sherry.
Hello. Hello.
What's your name?
Hello.
Can you say your name? Not yet. She needs to be in our English program. And here's Testimony. Hi, Testimony, Georgina's daughter.
Hello.
She says hello. I wish I could just describe the cuteness of these faces. It's hard to even believe. Hi, guys. I'm trying to get the guys here, Linkson and Pascal, to get the kids to sing a song for us. We'll see if it works.
Mama.
Could it get any cuter than that? So now they're singing a song that the ladies sing all the time that means something, if I remember the translation right, something along the lines of, look at the work that you're doing, everyone can see it. All right, that's all for this time. Bye, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. They're a little shy. I think it's time to call a day. What do you think?
I think we've had a fun day today.
We've had a fun
day.
Yeah,
we've achieved something.
We've achieved a ton, really.
Yeah, we didn't waste time.
We definitely didn't waste time. Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much.
2:00 PM, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you, that is the most fun I've had in a really long time. The thing that is astounding is, you don't have to go that far back in the blogs to see when these children were born.
Yeah.
You know, baby Dave and, well, of course, baby Jen must be practically grown at this point, but baby Sherry is now 4 or something like that. But it's just amazing. They're just all wrapped up and on their mama's back, and then there they are now walking around and ready to go to school. It's just it makes me homesick.
Yes.
Just hearing all those voices, and I can just picture the walking back and forth from Brenda's old house to the sewing room, and there's the Chitenge, and there are the kids, and oh my gosh, it's fabulous. I wish Jen had a video and that we could be watching it and listening, and now I bet she'll bring some videos back for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that was so fun.
Great, and I'm excited that you could hear it well too, so that's
oh, yeah, oh, it's perfect. It was like being there.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. I'm so glad to hear that.
And, of course, because I know these people really well, their voices, they sounded just like themselves. Veronica doesn't sound a thing like Georgina, and neither one of them sound like Brenda. And nobody sounds like Teresa. And it's just fabulous.
Great.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Yeah, it's fun. I can see the whole team's putting a lot of work in to make that possible, and it's a team effort, and it really comes out great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Yes.
I think they're holding Sister Phil hostage, captive over there, though. She was the one person. There's a rumor that she's there, but we didn't hear anything, did we?
Yes. And the first blog came out today, as you may know as well.
No, I didn't know. I didn't. I've been off on other endeavors all day, so thank you for the heads up. I'll take a look at it.
Sure, great. And I have some announcements here.
Okay.
Precepts Renewal Retreat, September 26th through 29th, will be a big Sangha family reunion. Everyone who has taken the precepts with you, Sherry, is invited as we celebrate 25 years of commitment to practice. It takes place in the week and weekend after the bridge walk, and folks can plan to attend both events. The event is full, but we are looking to see if we might take a few more people.
Yeah, I think I heard several days ago, I think, or two or three days ago anyway, that it was already be over capacity. But I think we're going to get hooks and find places to squeeze people in, because we really don't want to turn anybody away.
Great. And we have a new Rest and Be Thankful weekend retreat at the monastery coming up August 24th through 26th.
We just had one, that was,
yes.
Rumor has it, was great. So,
great.
Yeah, people put that on their calendars.
Great. Walk in nature, attend an art or yoga workshop, join the monks in meditation, eat simple, delicious foods, and allow your heart to open to the generosity of life. Or you can just take it easy and enjoy a weekend of tranquility at the monastery.
People cook.
Sounds like you could do both quite easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's plenty of time for all of it.
Yes. And on July 27th, you, Sherry, will be the keynote speaker at the International Enneagram Association Conference in Long Beach, California.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. I hope so.
And visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to read more or sign up for any of these events. And with all that, I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Let's get started. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name's Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Hi there. I am doing what all the other callers do, is forcing myself to call in, making that commitment to myself.
Very good, very good. Showing those voices who's boss.
Absolutely.
Good.
I am so fresh and new to this. I just went to the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat.
Uh-huh.
And I have been really faithful to sitting every day, which I never thought I would ever have been able to do.
Good for you.
And I do it, you know, two or three times a day, you know, on days that I need extra love and compassion for myself. And the most interesting thing I think that is coming up for me is, first of all, I have to thank you all for having me, the open air, because it's like my church. I go every Tuesday and I make that commitment to myself. And it's so wonderful to hear that community. And it's very interesting to me, because I was talking to a friend of mine and she said, you know, you're not a joiner, and you're joining these calls, and you're wanting to sell something on the Sangha market, and she said, this is so strange. And I
uh-huh.
said, I know, I'm just going to go with it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it sounds like you have found something you want to participate in.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. I mean, and you know, there's such a duality in the sense of, I say, you know, it's so wonderful, and then, you know, since I've come out of the retreat, I've been going through a lot of life stresses, and you know, my business, I may or may not continue to do it in that way, and in the same way I'm doing it now, because it's just the economy is really tough, and I'm reading the Fear book you know, kind of going, Amy, just breathe through this, you know, you can make this, because, you know, things shift and change. I'm driving down the road and my car blows a hole in the engine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then the whole part of the part of the beauty of, I love what I'm doing, but then there's another voice that comes in and goes, wow, not much has changed for you, has it? You know, you went to this retreat and your life is horribly stressed and you have all these things. Shouldn't your life be better?
Mm-hmm. And you say, process doesn't have anything to do with content.
Absolutely.
If I can be more compassionate toward myself no matter what happens, then that's the point. Not that my car won't blow its engine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the thing that has been really fascinating to me is that, you know, I can talk very lucidly about it, you know. At times I'm still having the meltdown because I'm new to the practice. I'm still having the meltdown as it's happening. But as I can look back at it, I think, you know, remember you went to there's nothing wrong with your retreat so that you could develop tools.
Yeah.
You never went there with under any guise that your life was going to be perfect. And then once you did your, you know, your duties, that all of a sudden, you know, gold coins would fall from heaven.
Yeah, that's an important thing to keep in mind, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's amazing how that, like I said, I'm 2 months out of the process, you know, into the process, and I just have to keep reminding myself and sort of have faith that just go and sit, trust this process.
Yep.
You know, I think this is good for you.
Yes. Yes, and always to keep in mind that life actually, contrary to appearance, never gives us more than we can handle.
Absolutely.
It doesn't, and we all have absolute proof of that, because we've all handled everything up to today, and we've all been in many places where we would have sworn we were not going to survive this, or we couldn't stand it for another minute or whatever. and we have. And in my experience, things do get a whole lot easier, a whole lot easier, and cars still blow their engines, and, you know, we still can't control the economy, and
right.
businesses do what businesses do, and we just learned that, you know, we can't control that sort of thing, but what we do have the ability to change is our relationship with ourselves. And so to be kind and loving and caring of the person who's going through these things, that's what makes life better.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I think that's the part that I'm like, because I give myself the assurances and things, and they feel a little hollow, but I'm, you know, I'm still going through it. It's funny, I sort of have all the tools, and I'm still going through it. I'm talking to myself in a very compassionate way, but then in the same way, I'm not, you know, I don't know if it feels very authentic at this point. You know, I'm still, you know, and I don't know if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, the voices of self-hatred are going to try to convince you it's not authentic. But here's the deal. You're doing it. That's authentic.
Right.
So, you know, if I'm your best friend and you're going through a really hard time and I am doing everything I can to be as kind and caring and loving and compassionate as I can be, you're still going to have voices that are saying, well, but, you know, she probably doesn't mean that. She probably just wishes that you just shut up and, you know, whatever it is.
And move on, yeah.
That's right. Or, you know, I don't think she really means that. I think she's just saying that because blah, 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 blah.
Right.
There's that filtering system that we're always trying to get past. And it's the same thing. So, you know, if you're stopping two or three times a day to sit because that's the place that you can find the most compassion for yourself, and you're offering the reassurances to yourself regularly, that's a tremendous amount of sincerity, authenticity. And that's just undeniable. You know, do we always feel our hearts overflowing with loving kindness when we're, maybe not, you know, but,
exactly.
You know, it's the same, it's like having a child. You know, I love you. Now, is it all, I mean, okay, I'm really stressed now, and you're acting like a little whatever. So am I going to sound quite as sincere as when you're sound asleep in your little bed and you look like an angel and that sort of – no. But it doesn't mean I don't love you.
That's a wonderful way to look at it.
Yeah.
That's very
and
helpful.
And it's like any relationship, you know, it has its highs and its lows. And,
mm-hmm.
and what we're doing is just strengthening those unconditional love muscles. And, yeah, sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's not, and we just keep practicing.
Keep practicing, yeah. And I think the biggest thing that I've learned, too, is that I say, you know, hey, look at this. This is just awareness. You didn't notice this before. You just didn't even have any space
yes.
to notice this.
Oh, boy.
So,
yes.
You know, I'm like, I'll just leave it at that. I can watch the train wreck, but
yeah.
before well, I didn't see the train wreck happening.
Exactly. That is such a good point. The fact that I wasn't aware of it before doesn't mean it
mm-hmm.
wasn't going on. So anything
exactly.
that we're, any awareness we have is good news. Even if it's awareness that, ooh, boy, I can be unskillful under certain circumstances. Well, better to know it than not to know it.
Absolutely.
So we can always be grateful for the awareness.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And those voices are not going to give up, as you know. They're not.
Yeah.
They're,
well, it's reassuring to hear, you know, sort of what I quote unquote, the old timers that call in and I hear and I go, okay, well, it's just all going to be, it's just all part of the process. Just trust the process and keep sitting and just keep watching and,
yeah.
and
stay
and
attention,
keep going.
Stay tuned in and, as you say, realize that this is part of waking up. This is what it's like. And in my experience, the only thing that happens with more practice is
mm-hmm.
that you enjoy the process more, you stop taking it as personally, and lower your expectations and standards.
I love it.
And then it's like, oh, that was a really, really, really awful time, and I got through it. There.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not going to listen to anybody tell me how I could have done it better or, you know, those voices that telling me how aware I wasn't or anything else. It's just, no, I'm doing the best I can. Thanks.
Yeah, that's very really helpful.
Good.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Sherry and Michael, for everything you do and you know, your constant availability through all the avenues on Living Compassion and through the radio show and everything. It's just wonderful. So
well,
I am
welcome.
Looking forward to next year, too.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for participating, for doing your part.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. Have a great night.
Thanks for joining us, Amy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Priya.
Hi, Priya.
Hi, Sherry. Oh, I'm so excited to talk to you. Hello, Michael.
Hi.
What's going on?
I'm very new to practice. My sisters actually introduced me to this, and they gave me a lot of your books, and they kind of just sat around my house, and I never really looked at them, but I wanted to be aware. And, you know, I kept thinking to myself, you should be aware, but I wasn't really taking those steps to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And something happened a couple months ago where I just chose to be happy where I am, to keep it simple, and I kind of felt this like awakening happen that has kind of thrown me into the deep end of awareness, and I just love it, and I wanted to just talk to you.
Well, good. I'm so glad. Thank you.
I'm glad too.
That's a very happy story.
I think so too. Thank you.
Yeah. So, it's such a good story. I want to make sure I'm right with you. So, you were going along with kind of a desire or an ambition to be more aware.
Yes.
And at a certain point, you decided, made a conscious decision to be happy where you are in life.
Yes.
And suddenly, the awareness is there.
It sounds, I don't know if cheesy is the right word, but that's exactly what it was. Like, you read about enlightenment and awakening, and it feels like light through your body, and you just feel amazing and present, and that's kind of how I felt, honestly.
Uh-huh.
It was a beautiful experience, and it lasted for 2 or 3 days, and then it's kind of like, oh, now I'm aware of the voices. I literally didn't have any voices in my head for 3 days straight.
Uh-huh. Woo.
And then they started coming back.
Uh-huh.
And I remember talking to my sister, and I'm like, oh, did it even really happen? And I was like, oh, that's the voices telling me it didn't happen, isn't it? And I'm just more aware of all these things. And she said, no, don't think it didn't happen. Now you know what it's like, and now you can hold on to that and practice from that point in your life. So
yes.
That's
now,
what I'm doing
now. Now you have a perspective, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm talking to you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so now, with that perspective, you can see how it goes together. Right?
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to get some guidance from you on. So what I'm working with right now is kind of control and how we don't really have any control.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a new mom, so I have a 6-month-old baby boy. And so it's
so
coming
you know.
A lot...
You know you have no control, right?
Exactly. It's just this awareness came at a beautiful time, you know, as a new mother, and I have the Time Out for Parents book, and I've been slowly reading that because I do really want to work on raising him as an aware parent with awareness, and I don't want to do the fear, guilt, shame thing that you talked about. I want to do kind, compassionate awareness with raising him, and the issues is like, control, the last control part of it is very liberating, and then kind of the fear comes in.
Yeah.
After that, and it's just, that's what's tough for me.
Yeah, so as I think you probably know, the fear is what we call egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. So that's what runs the life of an unconscious human. Then
mm-hmm.
you wake up, you know, now you're aware of what's going on, and
mm-hmm.
it is losing control of your life.
Yes.
So it's fighting for its life, and the way it does that is through fear. So it is fear, and the experience of it is fear, right? So you mm-hmm. feel it, it's fear, and we're conditioned to believe its fear is my fear, and therefore uh-huh. I have to do what it says I need to do in order to be
yeah.
in control.
Yeah.
And actually,
that's exactly what it does.
Yeah, and actually what's happening, of course, is that it's controlling you.
Yeah, and when I do what it says, I feel horrible after it every time.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, that's a powerful awareness to have right there.
It's tough. Yeah.
Yeah, and so then what we're practicing with is the discomfort of
mm-hmm.
not doing what the voice says we have to do.
Exactly. Yep. Yes.
But it's a short period of time to get to the other side of that discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because you've already realized that doing what it says feels awful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the same voices that tell me to do that are the same that beat me up after.
That's exactly right.
I do it.
That's exactly
which is my
right.
sister told me that as well.
Yep.
She's been practicing for a couple of years, so she's like my sensei into practice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that, it's very helpful, isn't it, to have somebody in the
it's
family.
Extremely helpful.
Yeah.
I kept going, what will Sherry say? She's like, Priya, just call Sherry and ask her. And I'm like, you know what? I will.
Yes, there you
I
go.
Will call her.
There you go. No reason
yeah.
not to. Yeah. Yeah. So that would be my encouragement to you as for where you are in your practice right now
okay.
is to watch the voices come up and
mm-hmm.
tell you to do something and then practice
mm-hmm.
sitting through the discomfort of not doing what they say. And, of course, they're going to escalate. You know, they're going to scream
yeah.
and yell and threaten and you just
yeah.
sit and breathe, sit and breathe, sit and breathe,
mm-hmm.
and it'll get to a certain kind of a crescendo, and
mm-hmm.
then they lose their power, and you just
mm-hmm.
keep breathing, and then they'll
okay.
regroup and come at you again, but you just
yeah.
keep breathing through that until you prove to yourself at a really deep level
yeah.
that they're powerless and full of really bad advice.
Yeah. I think that the fear with your own child is just a different kind of fear than with yourself. At least that's been my experience.
Yes.
So the fear with myself I'm handling so much better. Or the need to control my husband I'm handling so much better. But, like, control the environment around my son is just really, it's very hard for me to be like, it's okay, he's okay.
Yes.
You don't need to fix everything around him or fix how everyone acts around him or what they do, what they say around him. So
yes, yes. And, you know, yeah. Priya, since you're paying attention at a really deep level, what's actually going on is,
mm-hmm.
so I just did this, one of my favorite quotes is, goes something like this, having a child is getting used
mm-hmm.
to having your heart walk around outside your body.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's
yeah.
what it feels like, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your heart, your whole being is now outside of you. And so,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so to keep in mind that you are projecting your experience onto him.
Ooh,
that
I never
is,
even thought of it that way.
Yeah, that there's somebody just as little and vulnerable and innocent in you who needs
okay.
to be taken care of just as much as he needs to be taken care of.
Wow. I that's what blew my mind right now. It totally did. Okay.
Yeah.
So whenever I feel the fear creep up about something I'm projecting onto him, I look inside myself to see a little baby or a little, you know, 2-3-year-old girl inside of me. And give that girl love and go through that discomfort and breathe through that and help her.
Yes.
And then I won't kind of give in to what the voices are saying and move
That's
through
right.
that moment.
Yes. And this
okay.
is the overarching philosophical reason for that. If you
mm-hmm.
don't take care of her, you'll really be putting a tremendous burden on your son.
Yeah.
You can see that, right?
Yeah, I can. Yeah. Exactly. It's like the airplane thing that you were talking about, where you have to put your mask on before you put it on for your child.
Yes, exactly right. Because otherwise, he's going to grow up feeling responsible for your well-being and happiness.
Mm, and that's how I feel for my parents, too. Yeah. I don't want to do that to him.
No, you don't want to do that.
No. Yeah. No, I don't.
All right.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm so elated I got to speak with you. And hello, Michael. Thank you guys so very, very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
The show.
Call us again, huh? Keep us posted.
Oh, I will. Loved it.
Excellent. Thank you
so much. Have a lovely evening. Bye.
You too. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Priya. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Humer. This is a fun start to the show, Sherry.
Sure is.
Yes.
Sherry, I love it. Of course we love us old timers, but talking to these new folks and just getting that, it's thrilling, isn't it? To hear people just take into practice like that and it's exciting.
Yeah,
you were going to say something.
Oh yeah, fun. Just new energy. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be back.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta from Washington State.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is David calling from Hawaii.
This is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
It's Rebecca from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
It's Ramita calling from South Carolina.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Todd calling from Canada.
2012 marks 10 years that Sherry and Michael have been doing Open Air. They have fielded thousands of your calls and archived hundreds of shows. In this year of deepening practice, we invite you to give a donation to support Open Air. Go to the Living Compassion website. Click on the Donations tab and make a donation of any size to the Zen Center, writing Open Air in the notes field. Step forward to be part of expanding the transformation. Lend your support today.
We're very lucky people.
We are very lucky people.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Good night.
Good night.
You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world.
This beautiful song by Trish Bruxford Colligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection, moment to moment. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
This is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. We have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Jen in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jen.
Hi. Hey, how are you?
Good. What's going on with you?
Good. I'm good. I was calling to well, because I have a commitment to call, but kind of having, you know, one of those intense sort of awful experiences, but that I'm grateful for and grateful for practice with kind of places.
Yes, I know those well.
It's what? Yes, yeah. Yeah, it was fun hearing the other folks probably along similar lines, looking at fear and grateful for the fear and all those interesting things. But yeah, a little bit of the content is just, I think I've talked about here before, that my husband goes away for long periods of time each year, or I don't know, they feel long to me, maybe a month, or this time it's about 6 weeks. And I used to have a lot of anxiety with that, and then actually for several years now it had been a lot better, and I don't know if it's the year of deepening practice or what, but it's finding, I think conditioning is finding it to be a good place to get me again. So, yeah, it's just been, you know, up all night, terrified, and, you know, just having, anxiety attack kind of stuff that I haven't had in such a long time. But I've just been so grateful for practice because it's been so different. Like, I've been able to practice with it. Like, I was having this moment of, you know, not being able to breathe and just thinking that I wasn't going to make it through and, you know, all that stuff. It was such intensity, and then I just realized I could direct my attention, and I just directed my attention to breathe more deeply, and it was like as soon as I would move away from that for even a second, you know, the voices were there to tell me how I was going to die, and I went, you know, the whole thing, but it was really exciting to see, wow, if I can stay with it and just focus on, you know, this deep inhale, this deep exhale, whatever, I could be with it, and that's just been amazing. I mean, I never felt like I had, you know, any resources really when I've gone through that kind of thing before, and it's so wonderful to see the tools be able to work. Yeah. And the other piece that's been so neat is just I feel like I'm getting to that, like, I think it has very little or probably nothing to do with, like, you know, my husband going away or whatever. I think that's just the content that I'll fall for right now that will get me all worked up and you know, get conditioning to be able to try to make me miserable and take my energy. Because I was sort of realizing, like, gosh, when he's here, then conditioning is talking to me about, you know, this problem that I need to fix in my marriage or, you know, just all these things. But I realized, you know, it's never, I'm just seeing more clearly, like, it is never happy. It doesn't matter what is going on. It's not the content, just like you had talked about earlier. And I kind of know that on one level, but I feel like this situation is showing me that so much more deeply, that it's not about that. It's just, this is just the latest thing trying to torture me, and I can practice with it. So, yeah.
Very wise and really important for all of us to get and never lose sight of. That what you said, it will use anything that you'll fall for.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when he, as you say, when he's gone, well, that's logical. When he's there, then it's scanning for what you'll go for.
Right.
You know, then you're going to turn your attention to work. Well, then it's got something there. You know, the family. Okay, got something there. Money. Yep, got something there. And it can just cycle through, depending on where you are. It's always got something that it can set the hook and then begin to reel you in. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really neat to see because I think with this and so many things, a lot of times I really think, oh, you know, once he's here, it will be better. Or, you know, I fall for it's the content, and I'm just seeing more and more, no, you know, it's so not. It just really doesn't have anything to do with that. And I'm really, like, it's so funny. I mean, I'm not talking really to anyone about this except for you because I think it would sound so crazy. But I feel, well, maybe it would sound crazy to someone else perhaps, but I feel really grateful, actually. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not sleeping and I'm miserable in these kind of some ways, but I'm so grateful to be having this experience. Oh. It's just showing me so much, and it's really requiring me to pay attention and develop my mentoring so much more strengths, and yeah, I'm really grateful for it.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, to be in that situation, you can't breathe. Now, the good
yeah.
news is, of course, if you passed out, you would start breathing, right? And,
right.
And the reason for that, of course, is because your attention would no longer be focused on the voices terrifying you, right? So then they would have no ability to terrify you, and you'd breathe normally, and everything would be fine. However, much more important for you to be in that situation, to practice turning your attention, putting your attention where you want it to be, and prove to yourself that, wow, it really works, even in what, you know, everything in me believes is a life and death situation.
Yeah, yes. I mean, just, yep, that was just such, so powerful to be in that place where I think that at other times I would have, you know, thought, okay, I need to be medicated, I need to be hospitalized, I need whatever, like, you know, there's just nothing, that, you know, because, like you said, I mean, not being able to breathe is pretty terrifying, but it was so powerful to just see, you know, breathe in, breathe out, and that when I just focused there that I could do that, it just was amazing.
Yes.
And I was having these moments of, oh, Sherry keeps saying, you know, directing our attention. No wonder she keeps trying to teach us. So, yeah.
Oh, I get it. And, you know, the thing about it is, of course, you know, we live in a nation. I'll just say our nation. I suppose the rest of the world is there as much as they can be, but where it's preferable to get medication, go to the hospital,
yeah.
you know, have somebody change my experience.
Yes.
Okay, that's what we're conditioned to believe. I need somebody to change my experience so that I'll be all right, and to get it, that actually, if you did that, if you were medicated, if you went to the hospital, if you, whatever it is that went on, you would be actually in worse shape than before. Because each time we choose conditioning's solution, we dig ourselves in deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I have to keep looking to the conditioned, you know, quote, solution to guide my life, which just makes it all worse. Yeah.
That's right. And what if you were somewhere and didn't have the medication? Or
what
if you got far enough away from a hospital that you couldn't get there? What if you, and again, you know, we watch people's lives just shrink and shrink and shrink. But to prove to yourself, you know, it's not going to be fun, perhaps. It might not be a good time, but by God, I know how to do it. And I can sit there, and if all my whole world turns into inhale, exhale. For whatever period of time, I will move through this, and I will be in a better position, not a worse position.
Yeah.
And after a while, of course, it gives up, because the only point to something like that is for you to be terrified, feel out of control, and turn to it for a solution. If you're not going to do that, well, there's no sense in going through that.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I can. I even, you know, when I was dropping him off at the airport, the voices were saying, you know, you're going to need to go talk to an airport staff member and tell them you need help, because you're going to pass out. You're going to, you know, fall over here. And, you know, that was the conditioned thing. But yes, I can see how being able to realize, no, that's not, you know, this is okay. And to sit down and to breathe and, you know, the whole thing. Yes, it's empowering, I guess, you know, like I love what you said about, you know, I could, then I know that any situation that I'm in, no matter how painful or scary or whatever, I'm okay. I don't have to have this external thing to change it.
Yes, yes. Now that's freedom, isn't it?
That is freedom. It's really, it's really exciting.
It is exciting. And you have a very simple, powerful technique that is always with you, always. As long as there's a you, there will be your attention that you can focus.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It just, I'm just so grateful. So I just wanted to say thank you, because
so glad.
Oh,
I am
well,
so
I can
happy
just
for
picture.
You.
Thank you. Me too. And I know that without practice, I know that this could be going a really different, not empowering or useful direction. So I'm so grateful, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. And I'm really glad. And of course, I've known you for a while. I know how hard you've worked to get to this point. And it's a powerful, powerful place to be. So enjoy it.
Well, thank you, because it wouldn't happen if all this stuff was not made available. So I'm just incredibly grateful.
We got a good deal going.
Yeah, practice works.
Practice works.
Right, so I'll be maybe up all night with all my lights on and everything else, but I'm going to be breathing deeply and it'll be okay. So
Exactly. And if you love to meditate, well, why not be up all night?
That's very true. I mean, I've been doing more recording and listening because I'm spending more time with the mentor in the middle of the night. So, you know, it's kind of there's a lot of good things about it. So.
Yes, a lot to celebrate.
Yeah. Well, thank you so very much. So.
Oh, you're most welcome. Good night.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air. Time for a gratitude party, Sherry.
I'm telling you, you know, we need to get us some practice works T-shirts.
Yes.
Don't you think? Practice
That's
works.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great. Bumper and sticker. We have another. Sorry, I missed that.
Pardon me?
I missed the last thing you said there.
Oh, I just said bumper stickers or something that reminds us. Tattoos.
Great.
I don't know.
Great. And we have another caller.
Hey.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Jodine from San Francisco.
Well, hello, Jodine.
Hey, I was just thinking, it would be so perfect if I was the next caller that went live, because I completely relate to what Jen was just talking about.
Good. Tell us your version of that story.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is I'm like 6 months past what I might have called a crisis, or what conditioning was trying to convince me was a giant crisis in my life. I for no particular reason at all, I stopped being able to sleep last fall, I guess. And I was, I basically didn't sleep at all for about a month to 5 weeks. Practice does work, because that's what got me through that.
Wow. That's a long time, isn't it?
It is a very long time. And I tell you, the night, you know, I usually sleep through the night. But when you're not sleeping and the rest of the world is sleeping, the night is a very long time.
Yes.
And it's not a time that I ever want to be alone with conditioning.
Yeah.
You know, with no support there.
Yeah. Yep.
But you know, a really interesting thing about that for me was I had gone through something like that before, like a smaller version of that, right before I went to the month-long deepening practice retreat at the monastery over the summer.
Hmm.
And when that happened, I was so determined that it was not going to ruin the retreat for me, that I just, like, pulled out all the stops and used every tool that I could muster, and basically sat up through so many nights with my recorder, and basically did, like, two chairs, exercise, you know, my mentor was right there with me, And I have all of those recordings. Like, you know, so I would sit there and do a mentoring exercise, and then I would stop and listen to it. And I found that I would often kind of doze off if it had gone on long enough. and then I would wake up again and say, "Oh, here I am," you know.
Yeah.
Still
not sleeping. But,
yeah, still not sleeping. And it was, you know, and I just had this focus, like I knew everything was going to be fine as soon as I got onto the monastery grounds. And it was. So that happened, and I think that, you know, I stood conditioning down, basically,
uh-huh.
with one of the biggest things that I would fall for, which is, you're crazy, and this proves it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
which, you know, there's
right?
some kind of variation of that goes on with everybody, right? And this proves it is the end of it, you know, because you're the way you are. There is something wrong with you, and this proves it. So that's a fabulous karmic kind of a tagline.
Maybe it just goes around the Enneagram too, you know, like whatever proves it
right.
is what your type is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
So the really interesting thing about what happened then in the fall was there was absolutely nothing happening in my life that I could point to that had anything to do with why I might be not sleeping. You know, there was no particular content that I was worried about. There was just, it just like came out of the blue. And for whatever reason, not having that focus, not having that end point, like not knowing when it was going to end, was enough to tip the scale. And I ended up going the I need to be hospitalized or medicated route, like to get through it this time. And I absolutely agree with you when you say that, you know, that whole conditioned path that you might go down, that I went down with sleeping medication, put me in a much worse position than I was in the beginning of it. And the thing that helped me the most get through all this and kind of wake up to, you know, how I want to be with myself, was that I was scheduled to go to the New Year's retreat right in the middle of all this stuff. And my husband convinced me to go anyway, because conditioning was saying you can't go to the retreat. My husband convinced me to go anyway, and there was a whole lot of sitting at that retreat.
Mm.
And I just somehow, like, through the haze, like, so, the drug alters my awareness, right? And so I would sit there in meditation over and over again every day, and it was just so clear to me, I don't want this to be a part of my life. I don't want to have my awareness dictated by this substance.
Yeah. Again, incredibly important to see, right?
Yes.
Direct experience of
conditioning,
that.
Yeah, because conditioning was saying, oh, well, this is going to save you, you know, like, and this miracle, you know, they have these great sleeping medications now that are not addictive and, you know, blah, 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 and you'll be fine, and you can, whatever, you know, kind of all the promises of pharmaceutical
Bliss.
Marketing. And then when I got back from the retreat, it was just like, you know, and it's not at all a good idea for some of these medications to like stop them cold turkey, right? So I had to tell my doctor what I was doing, and I'm going to taper off this, and I'm going to, you know, this is just not for me. And I had this experience of really finding myself in like a powerful place of, in the past in my life, I had really never had that kind of resolve and had like doctors a lot, you know, like wanting to be off of medication, but not being really able to kind of assert myself with the doctors and therapists and whatever that I worked with for so long with this bipolar thing. And it was just, there was just no question, like, I'm going off of this, and that's that. and my doctor was like, good, that's probably best for you. I'm like, what?
You mean I could have said that years ago? But actually, you
exactly.
couldn't have, right? You had to get to that. That's why we can never, if we're paying attention, we can never regret anything, because you couldn't have gotten to that place of resolve any sooner than you got there. It took every one of those, all of that coming together, all of that building up, for you to get to that place of clarity and resolve. And then there you are. And when we get there, we look back and go, wow, it's all worth it.
Yeah, more and more experiences like that are making that clear to me.
Yeah.
And it helps me know, like, okay, I can just trust that this is fine. Because if that was going on in my past, then it's going on right now too.
Exactly. So everything that's happening right now is leading us to the next whatever. And it may be a big whatever. It may be just a little tiny blip whatever. But it's seamless. It's all working, at least in my experience. I think that this is so for how it works, that it's all working toward our good. Everything that is going on with us is our opportunity either to choose karmic conditioning, self-hatred and suffering, or to choose unconditional love and acceptance and freedom. Everything. That's why we have that one rule at the monastery. We'll use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and in suffering. Everything is going in one of two directions all the time. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, thank you.
Hallelujah.
Huh?
Thank you. And there's time for another caller. So
oh, perfect.
I'll
perfect.
Sign out.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks,
talk
Jodine.
To you soon.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. You're listening to Open Air. And I think we do have time, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara calling from Australia.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, perfectly.
Good.
Do we say good morning?
Yeah. It's still morning here. It's nearly 11 o'clock.
Oh, perfect. Well, good morning, Barbara.
Thank you.
What's going on?
Oh, I'm nervous again.
Uh-huh. That's good. You know, that keeps the heart going, and it's, you know, it's good for us. Get everything moving around in the system, and we call it excitement.
Yeah. It's been great to listen to the show today this morning. It's been really inspiring hearing people talk about practicing with challenging situations.
And it does seem like folks have them, huh?
I think that's one of the things that, you know, it's always good to to be reminded of that, especially when, you know, I'm sort of still in a challenging situation, although it's changing and it's eased up a bit since last time I called in, which
Good.
Has been great. And, you know, my health is improving a little bit, which is great, and that makes everything else kind of ease up a bit. But it's really good to just be reminded that, you know, everybody has their own particular challenging situations, and they're not like mine necessarily, but that's just kind of life. And it reminds me that I'm not sort of responsible for mine, that it isn't anything that I've done or, conditioning would really like me to believe that it's somehow my fault, especially my health stuff. But,
yes.
You know, if I could just figure it out and figure out how to, you know, fix it on the one hand, or at least sort of make all the right decisions so that it never got any worse or so that it got better, it's, you know, that's been a big one.
Yeah. Yeah. So what conditioning wants us to do is frame just about everything in life as something wrong.
Yeah.
Right? So your health issues, that's wrong. It shouldn't be that way. And that's proof that there's something wrong with you, probably something you did or something you didn't do. And if you just figure it out and get it right, then, and it, you know, as long as we're in that, the other side of that is acknowledging anything like that. So we're not supposed to acknowledge anything like that because that's negative, right? And you shouldn't say anything about it because that's complaining. So that whole thing is designed to keep it all in place. So if we simply reframe it as what we're doing is acknowledging what's going on, because that's our best opportunity to see our way through it. And what seeing our way through it means is choosing to embrace whatever it is in unconditional love and acceptance. But denying it because it's proof that there's something wrong just keeps it in place.
Yeah.
Is that your experience?
Yeah, I started doing the Zen Awareness Coaching.
Aha.
Which it's been great, and it's just such a great way for me to, you know, over here on the other side of the world, for me to just connect, another tool to kind of connect more personally and directly with practice.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, the first sort of great thing that came out of that was, you know, having my health situation referred to it, the coach just kept referring to it as my health opportunity. And it was great. It was just like, it made me smile. And I know that that's the truth of it too, you know. It teaches me, it's my part, it's just taught me so much. And I've been not in that place recently of really, I've been struggling with seeing it as an opportunity. And I was really reminded of that in a very loving, compassionate way.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's so helpful, isn't it? That's why I really am excited about this coaching business that's now a part of practice, because just having that kind of direct one-on-one support and conversation for what's going on with oneself, and have somebody kind of reflect it back and mirror and support and that sort of thing. It helps us take it out of that realm of something wrong and an area where the voices, karmic conditioning, are the only ones holding sway. Now we've got a couple of voices coming up against that kind of badgering unpleasantness that karmic conditioning and self-hate wants to bring into our lives.
Yeah, it feels really powerful. I feel really, really grateful for, you know, for this and for that and for all the ways that you've been able to make practice available to people, you know, all over the world. So, yeah, it's making a big difference in my life. So thank
good.
You, everybody.
Good. I'm so glad. Yeah, I am so glad. Good, huh? Practice
That's
works.
Great.
See? Practice works.
Practice works. Yeah,
yeah.
The recording and listening works, and it's powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. It's a revolution.
it's
a transformation revolution.
I still have this part of me that's like, you mean I don't have to figure it out?
Right. Isn't that?
Wow. Not figure it out?
Right. Isn't that a relief? You mean
yeah, it's
the Beatles were right?
Of totally mind-blowing.
Yeah. The Beatles were right.
It's
love is
solution.
The answer. Love is all we need.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Good.
Okay. Well
thank
you
very
so
much.
Much.
Have a lovely rest of your day.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Good day.
Good day.
Good day. Thanks for joining us, Barbara. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Thank
wow,
you.
Wow. How did I get so lucky?
I know. I know. Me too. And I have to tell you this other thing, just quickly, just for us to, just for a fun thing. So I was getting my compost ready today. And I got it ready to take out, but I didn't get it over to be composted. And so as I'm sitting here doing the radio show, I've lived in this place for I don't know how many years. I've never seen a raccoon, right? But I left this bowl of compost out on my deck. And so there is the cutest raccoon that I have ever seen. Who's helping me through my composting process by eating compost out of the bowl. So it's just,
wow.
I feel so blessed on every level of life. I just wanted to let somebody know.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you shared it. I feel the same way.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Michael. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
All
Thank
right.
you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.